What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple H podcast. Happy Hour Hoops. The playoffs are here, and me and Jake are here a day early to talk about it with you guys. It's great. Although, Jake, I did mean to ask you, have playoffs technically started yet? Because all the home teams, no road team has won yet. I don't know. I don't know if we can coin that the playoffs have actually started.
I don't think so.
And it's been fun, man. It's been good. All home teams winning, but it's been great. We're gonna get into all of it. We have a little bit of notes, playoff notes edition. No full news and notes for around the entire league this week. And we're gonna talk about some hot topics that have been going on through the playoffs so far, our favorite players to watch, and then just checking in on all the series, doing our due diligence there. But before we get to all that, of course, Happy Hour Hoops is brought to you by WinStreaks. Guys, it's simple. You download the WinStreaks app, you pick teams to win games, accumulate points, and then win cash prizes weekly. WinStreaks is 100% free to play. You make up to 5 picks per day on the NBA, NFL, NHL, college basketball, college football. MLB is in full swing. 100 players win cash prizes every week up to $2,000. Again, the contest runs every week, Monday to Sunday. No deposits ever, and use our code HHH when you sign up. Jake, playoffs. I know your Cavs are 2-0 on the Orlando Magic. What has been the vibe so far from you, just as a Cavs fan and in general watching? Or you're muted, Jake.
I told you it was going to happen. I said right before, I said, watch out for my mutes. And it happened right away. Great vibes from the Cavs fan perspective. I mean, this is, I was saying before, last year they were the new team in the playoffs, and they were getting, you know, kind of just bullied the whole series by the Knicks, and they've been the bully this time around, and it's been just like refreshing to see that Magic don't have any answers really offensively except Paolo go do stuff. We'll get into that series later on, but it's been exciting to see, and now we can look ahead to I really, you know, Dunny, honestly, all year long I wasn't even thinking about it. We were, you know, the Cavs were in second or third place. The Celtics were chilling in first. And I was like, you know, we won't have to worry about that. Cavs won't even make it to the conference finals, probably. That's how I was feeling most of the year. And now we're on a collision course for Cavs-Celtics. So I'm a little worried about that, just for my own personal life and everything that goes into that and this show. The playoffs have been fun, though. I said the only game I really didn't see much of was the Timberwolves and Suns. I've gotten to see good chunks of the rest of the games, and it's been – great game. I mean, not last night was obviously the most theater and the most like chaos of the whole playoff so far, but it's still been high level basketball. I think Saturday night was both games won between the Knicks and the Sixers and the Nuggets and Lakers were exciting basketball games, even if they didn't come right down to the buzzer. The Bucks and Clippers were more just like shocking to see how in control they were, but it was didn't really know what to expect from those two games. So it was nice to just see kind of how that played out. And then Thunder Pelicans was like a classic knockdown drag out game too. So we've had some exciting games.
Yeah. I feel like Thunder Pelicans was kind of like what fans would anticipate from a Western Conference matchup. And we were just lucky enough to get that type of competitiveness from a 1-8 standpoint there. So that was awesome. And then it's crazy that Philly, New York, and LA, Denver kind of both 2-7 matchups, right? Just kind of carrying the dramatics for the entire landscape of the NBA so far in the playoffs. We'll get into all the series. We'll go over them a little more. First, just some notes here. Tomorrow's game for the Miami Heat, the Terry Rozier and Jimmy Butler both out still for the Miami Heat. And then if you are listening live, this is Tuesday night. Giannis is doubtful for tonight. And that's all the news we have. I mean, I don't want to really give too much about, since we are recording live right now, Tuesday, about the games for tomorrow, other than people being ruled out. I know Kawhi's questionable for their game as well. So that's really all the playoff news we have. And then we're going to get into our favorite players.
We will have to talk about Kawhi because this shit's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That we're doing this. Like, how are we doing this? It's 2024, Dunny. How are we talking about Kawhi mysteriously missing playoff games again? Doesn't make any sense.
It also doesn't seem too mysterious at this point. It's like maybe,
I guess so, yeah.
maybe shame on us for anticipating him playing. But yeah, it is crazy, man. We should spend a little bit of time on Kawhi, and I guess we can do that too when we get to the Clippers series.
Yeah,
that's going to be something to discuss because it is true. Just having to read that is questionable, and just waking up every day when there's a Clippers Mavs game and being like, oh yeah, Kawhi shouldn't be there. Also crazy that the Clippers stole one.
Went crazy. Yeah.
I guess maybe not Stu on there. You know, you're at home and you have it's a 4-5 series there. So it could have gone either way. But I think people were anticipating the Clippers to lose without Kawhi. They pull off the win. And here we are. Before we talk more about the playoffs, I did want to pose you this question because as rumors started yesterday, J.J. Redick was interviewing for the Hornets job or at least got a call about the Hornets job. I have a weird take on this, and I want to preface it by saying, obviously, I'm not J.J. Redick. I know how much J.J. Redick eats, sleeps and breathes basketball, you know, more than the two of us. And he's a basketball junkie, you know, played at a high level at every level. And obviously he loves the game so much, you know, hence him starting that podcast with LeBron and all the discourse he's had about how, you know, game breakdown should mean more than crazy highlights and all of it. So we know how much JJ loves and appreciates the sport. I think he is in such a good position right now with broadcasting his own podcast, Old Man and the Three, and then his podcast with LeBron. It almost seems like, of course, other than like the notoriety and if things work out and the money, it seems like it could be a lose-lose if he, especially if it's a Hornets job where he takes a coaching position, goes into this new lens of the basketball world, and he has coaching. I feel like he's far more likely to get criticized, I feel like, as an NBA coach, like most NBA coaches do, because you would assume it's going to take a couple of years, even if they do start to have success when he goes to Charlotte. I just feel like a lot of things could go bad where JJ Redick is like one of the more beloved guys in basketball media right now, which is a rarity to have pretty much like the whole NBA fan base on your side, which it seemingly seems that way for Redick at the moment. And I just feel like a lot of negative shit could happen if he goes to coaching, but
I agree with that. I do think there's a lot of, it's definitely a risk reward move for JJ in this sense. Right. So
yes,
but I'll play devil's advocate. Cause I'm with you. I don't think it's probably worth the risk. I think that's what you're getting to too. Like, is this really like, it's Charlotte, bro. Like, you're going to go try to revive the Charlotte Hornets and that's going to be your head coaching job that you've never had experience doing. Like, you're coming from the booth to the bench to coach this team that is like lost basically. It's a tough ask, but he's a hometown kid, at least from North Carolina. So that has to be intriguing for him. Just to live close to back home would probably be exciting. Mm-hmm. And B, he's always going to have a job as a media member. That's right. For sure. Like, there's nothing ESPN loves more than bringing back a coach who just got fired and throwing it back on TV. And JJ is like, like you said, JJ is the best broadcaster out there, which is why I'm with you. I think that he should just stay in his lane. He's about to do the finals. Like, bro, you got a nice thing coming. This is not the team to do it with. Like, if another team came to him, if you were talking about, like, I don't even know another example that I could think of, like Chicago, say the Bulls or, like came to
what
him.
What about
like,
when the Milwaukee Bucks have a super hot start next year and then Giannis and Dame don't like Doc anymore? And
exactly. Takes over. Yeah. Just wait out Doc Rivers, and then Doc can switch. It's just like a trade. ESPN trades JJ Redick to the Bucks for Doc Rivers, and there you go.
And Doc goes back to the booth with Doris, and everything's back.
It works out perfectly. So yeah, I would wait it out. I wouldn't go to Charlotte. I wouldn't try to do that. But I see why. It's a good PR move for the Hornets to do it and test the waters and see how excited the fan base can get about it, and then just offer him a boatload of money and see if he takes it. But the Charlotte does have some nice pieces, but I don't think I would want that responsibility.
Yeah.
What we've heard.
I guess that's basically just what I was getting at. It's like, it seems he's so loved right now in the broadcasting realm. And although I do think he would probably make major improvements to Charlotte from what they had this year, just because I trust his basketball mind. And I think the players would probably get up and want to play for a guy like JJ. I don't know. Like you said, Charlotte, maybe wait for another opportunity, but we'll see. Obviously, that's all the way up to JJ. Everything's up for JJ Redick this year. I mean, what a year for this guy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
The JJ Redick Award. Maybe we should start doing that. Just who's having the best year in the NBA world.
It's going to be nuts to hear him calling the NBA finals. I know. Say. I'm not ready to. That's going to be jarring. At first, it's just going to be jarring to hear, not hear. It's been weird with the playoffs without Stan.
Without Van Gundy.
Yeah. And Mark Jackson. But it's going to be even weirder when it's the finals. I'm not ready.
Yes.
For it.
So shout out JJ. He has some decisions to make, and you know, hopefully he continues to podcast if he does coach. I don't know if there's a rule against that, but
I don't think so.
If the players can do it, the coaches should be able to. But with that said, speaking of players, let's get into our top three each that we have enjoyed watching thus far. I think it's important to do this because obviously we have our teams. The Cavs are 2-0. My Celtics are 1-0, looking to go 2-0 tomorrow. But the NBA is so awesome for that reason, where the individuals make it fun, and you find yourself rooting for other teams at times, or even just the individual players to succeed. And the NBA is one of the best sports at that. You can throw in a game and you can really hone in on an individual. And I know we love doing that during the regular season. Jake, who is your let's go back and forth here. Who is your first guy that you've loved watching the most so far?
Well, yeah. So my first guy I'm going full homer with, because Jared Allen, who said last year, and I quote, "the lights were too bright" against the New York Knicks, has come out with a fury against Orlando. He had 16 and 18 in game one, and then followed it up in game two with 16 and 20. He's been dominating the boards, dominating the paint, defensively and offensively. Mobley's looked good too next to him, but it's because Allen's been awesome. And honestly, Allen's been awesome all year long. Like, a lot of criticisms of him.
He's been having a great year.
He's had a great year. And so it's not surprising to see him play that way. But Jared Allen, man, he 16, 20, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks last night. Cavs out rebound 48 to 41. That's what it comes out like in these close, low scoring games that this series is going to be. All those rebounds make a difference. The defense makes such a difference in the paint. So that's my guy.
I love that. And it's crazy. Like, I was even thinking that Jokic had a quiet, you know, 27 and 20 game last night. Like, talk about Jared Allen, but like, no, this dude, and we were talking about before we came on, the Cavs and Magic series in general isn't really getting a lot of media love right now as is, but Jared Allen putting up those stat lines and that just like, going unnoticed is kind of crazy. Like, he obviously, you know, the scoring, the three-point shooting has been a huge reason that the Cavs are able to take the 2-0 lead on the Magic. But a guy like Jared Allen, who, like you said, has been doing it all season, and then in the first two games for the Cavs, definitely deserves some flowers. So I like that. My first one is probably everyone's first pick, and it's Anthony Edwards. We've only had one game of it. We're about to, you know, in just an hour or so here, about to have another game. And I like that I can take Ant here, because it's almost a combo of Ant just versus KD in general, because KD in general is one of my favorite players to watch. And then just Ant, it's the same thing he's been doing all year, but just elevated. We got to see him at home in which are some of the cleanest jerseys in the NBA, I think. The Minnesota's home whites that they were wearing on Saturday were awesome. he's getting steals, dunking in transition, hyping up the crowd, just absolutely jawing with KD. And then the commentary afterwards in the post-game presser, like Anthony Edwards is just an experience. So when I say he's my favorite player to watch in the playoffs so far, that's, you know, on the court and the post-game presser, that's all included. He's a one-man show, and he's also just, you know, that's obviously just a saying there, but he's a great teammate as well, and that's the reason that the Timberwolves are in the spot that they're at right now. So shout out Anthony Edwards. He's definitely the guy I've liked to hone in on so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, if there's anybody in this playoffs, like there's a couple candidates for this, but somebody who by next year is like the star of the NBA, like the star of NBA Twitter, TikTok, everything, like the main character, Anthony Edwards has a chance to do that if this Wolves team makes a finals run. Like if it's Wolves Celtics in the finals or something like that, or Wolves anybody, if the Wolves just make the finals, like that's such a legacy boost. Like he has the most to gain from that, more than like a Luka would, I think, at this point. Obviously more than Jokic, he's already cemented. Like in the West, all those teams, OKC, yes, kind of, but I guess SGA was kind of would be the other person, but SGA is about to be maybe the MVP for all we know. Like,
yeah.
So you can't, like, he's already ascended kind of to that point, and this is like their best thing. I feel like Ant has been thought of as that guy. Like, he gets mentioned a lot as one of those guys, but never mentioned as like the guy. Does that make sense? Like,
no, the young guys,
it's always like, oh, and Ant, or like Ant and a guy, like one of these could be it. And now he's going to be on Team USA. If he goes to the finals and everything, like it could be his year where he really ascends. So I love that pick. I'm going to talk about an old guy who won't go away. I have to talk about LeBron, bro.
It's, yeah, we have to.
It's and eight, and I have almost cheated and just put both of them on here because AD has been amazing too. Don't get me wrong. But LeBron last night, 26, 12, and 8 against the Nuggets. He went 3-for-6 from three. In game one, he was, had it up here, 27-6-8. The fact that he's 39 years old and even keeping, like, helping keep this team in the game against a team that they're clearly overmatched by. Like, game one was pretty, it felt, you know, like they were feeling each other out for a little bit. But the Nuggets felt like they were controlling the pace, controlling everything last night. LeBron took that game over last night. And, I mean, AD was awesome too, don't get me wrong, playing his role. But when LeBron just starts setting the tempo himself and orchestrating like he was, and AD, like they just, their offense was so awesome for such a large stretch of that game. And then it all just fell apart, obviously, when it comes down to Denver at the end. We'll get to that later on. But the fact that he can still do this, I'm just in appreciation mode more than anything for it. And it's been crazy to see.
Yeah, no, it's fucking nuts, man. And I said to you before we hopped on that LeBron and Jokic probably would both have made my list as well if I was able to watch all of last night's game.
I was telling
you this also, but I watched the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter today, and yeah, I mean, just the fact that LeBron, like, in crunch time when they need a bucket, is the dude on the Lakers still who's getting a steal, getting out in transition, dunking the ball. Like, he's just still capable of doing it all. And, you know, no, is he the Miami Heat level LeBron still? No, he doesn't have that athleticism, but even just the athleticism that he does still have at 39, the shot making ability, just the leadership, the defense, it's all still there. And it's really fucking crazy because I don't know what any of us are going to do when we have our first playoff, you know, not just the Lakers missing the playoffs, but the first real playoff without LeBron is going to be,
yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be nuts. So everyone, if you're,
it's weird not having Steph right now. That's,
yeah,
that's been throwing me off too.
Yeah. That's already strange as it is. So that's a reminder to everyone out there. Appreciate what we're seeing from LeBron James. Another guy who's been around for a while, not nearly as long, but Russell Westbrook. I chose Russ because it's a little nostalgic for me. Like, I loved when the Celtics kind of had their short run of dark years and they were pretty bad. I fell in love with the Oklahoma City Thunder when it was Russ, KD, and Harden. And Russ is one of my favorite guys to watch compete just always. And, you know, seeing the Clippers come out and take game one, like we were talking about, Russ was a big part of that energy wise. Just seeing him catch a lob in a playoff game from Harden was awesome. Kind of seeing him get into it with the other team, hyping up the crowd, like everything in between. And it's, you know, Russ just being competitive is much watch TV, if you ask my opinion. And it was cool just seeing him contribute off the bench and doing his thing. So shout out Westbrook.
Yeah, man. He's the fact that he's been able to slide into that role with the Clippers is one of the coolest things of the season. That Clippers team is so interesting, man. If Kawhi is, we'll talk about Kawhi later, but that team, like, what, I mean, they're not, I don't know. We'll get into it later because they're just confounding to me. My last player, I wrote one down here. I'm changing it up though. I got to go back to a classic Jake favorite for one of these things to appreciate really what this man's doing. And it's kind of cheating because it's not just been the playoffs, but it has to be said, the New York Knicks are 20-3 with OG Anunoby on the floor. And that team had no business winning that game last night. And who's on the floor dishing over to Dante DiVincenzo to hit the game-winning shot?
Yeah, I think he might have made the final defensive rebound as well, too.
I think he might have, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
he did.
So, just a guy that I've had a lot of respect for.
Yeah, he's been your guy for a while.
Now, then with the Raptors, and he's just been the ultimate glue guy for this Knicks team that Brunson's been terrible. They don't have Julius Randle. Embiid and Maxey throwing haymakers last night, 34 and 35. And they're somehow up 2-0. Like, they're just surviving through this season. Real team of destiny type shit from the Knicks. Not saying that they're going to, like, win the finals or anything like that. But that's how this season has felt like. The fact they ended up the 2 seed, the fact that they're getting the success right now in the series against Philly. Now, it's going to be much different in Philly, I think, for this series. Because that Knicks crowd, incredible. Like, it's wild to play there. It's going to be probably one of the best home court advantages all playoffs long, but let's see how they do in Philadelphia. But got to give it to OG, got to shout him out. 20-3 is, that's no joke, man. That's a crazy record with him when he's on the floor.
I'm going with another Nick as well. I'm going with Josh Hart.
There you go.
He's just, you know, everything you said about OG, it's their importance to winning. I feel like Josh Hart is doing that kind of loudly, right? Like, he's the guy.
He had like 15 or 16 rebounds last night. It's nuts.
He does. Yeah. Every once in a while, you just have to like scratch your head and like look back at the box score and be like, oh yeah, Hart had a triple double and 20 rebounds with it. He just does that, and I think that's why he's perfect for the Knicks and this playoff run and everything they're trying to achieve. Saturday night, he was hitting the monumental threes towards the end of the game. People just big mad that Josh Hart's cooking them, and rightfully so. But this is Josh Hart's time. You know, he's put in the hours on multiple teams. He's playing with the guys he went to college with. He seems to be really, really appreciated in New York. And I just love like what Josh Hart is able to do to the crowd. And he's just one of those guys who's just always making timely plays, always doing the right thing, team first. And those guys are fun to watch too, if you watch as much basketball as Jake and I here. So it's good to appreciate, like Jake said, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, and big reason the Knicks are up 2-0, both those guys.
Yeah, the Knicks have been, I think, the best story right now of round one, just the way that they should not be up. They should almost, like, realistically could have been down 2-0 in this series very easily and just keep surviving. It's nuts to see. So
that's great. We, you know, maybe we'll do this next week too and just update our guys who we love watching.
Yeah, Steve's getting called out in the comments here too. Thank you, JBC. Too much of a coward to show his face. Summer sayings, JBC.
Yeah, that's tough. We will get to the Mavs losing the first game. Steve is actually at the NFL draft. That's why
he's not going anywhere.
That's why he's not on the pod this week. And also we're doing it, I don't even think I said this, we're doing it a day early because I will be at the Celtics game tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
So if you're listening to this live, that is why we're a day early. And if you're listening to this recorded, I will be at the Celtics probably when you're listening to this.
Nice.
So great, yeah, night. That was our little housekeeping that I didn't take care of. But also, JBC, if you want to say that Steve is ducking you, that's fair as well.
I think it's very fair.
We'll accept that answer. All right, let's start with the madness from last night. We're going to check in on all the series real quick before we go. Checking in on Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Denver up 2-0 somehow after that game last night. Going back to L.A., controversial, super controversial game two. I want to start with this. So LeBron's kind of getting clowned for saying that, basically calling out the ref's replay center and what's it about if you're just going to get it wrong after reviewing it, which he's referring to the D'Lo play that happened in the third quarter. D'Lo got smacked in the face on a layup. A foul was called, challenged. The refs looked at D'Lo getting slapped in the face multiple times. Apparently they didn't care because they overturned it and said it wasn't a foul. I think LeBron's heart was actually in the right place complaining, which, you know, someone clip this because you're not going to hear this often from me. But I don't think he's complaining about the right things. He shouldn't have brought up the D'Lo thing because that happened in the third quarter. And then it's so easy for everyone to clown him and just say, hey, that's something that happened in the third quarter. You guys still blew a 20-point lead. You guys had opportunities down the stretch in the fourth, which is what I think he should complain about. Because as I mentioned, I just watched the last 8 minutes today because I wasn't able to watch last night. And LeBron, in those last eight minutes of the fourth quarter, got fouled probably four or five times on different drives where he didn't even get a whistle for himself. So he has a right to be mad about the referees, but I think what he should have brought up is the lack of calls on himself in the fourth quarter. And then just everything else, man, like Murray was shooting poorly, came alive down the stretch, obviously hit the winner on AD, and just everything that we said was an issue for the Lakers is just displaying itself in full force in these first two games. LeBron and AD have both been exceptional, and the cast around them has just been pretty bad, if I'm putting it bluntly.
No, that's exactly it. I mean, Russell had a better game last night, but game one was atrocious. Game one was like, who is this guy? Who is where? Like, he was so good all year long, and then it was strange to see Rui 3 points last night. Like, Reeves, who was a killer, didn't do nothing. They only had six scorers last night, Dunny.
Yeah.
Like, there were three guys who scored no points in actual minutes on the floor. That's,
I think,
terrible.
Dinwiddie played only 10 minutes, but it's like, I don't even think Dinwiddie got a shot up. He was one of the guys who had 0 points. If you're Spencer Dinwiddie, like, I thought that's why you bring in a guy like that is for scoring. And then, like, same thing with Gabe Vincent. Is that I could have told the Lakers that he wasn't going to do what he did for the Heat. And granted, he's had some injury issues this year. So, you know, I don't want to be too harsh on the guy, but like, he played 15 minutes scoreless last night as well. It's just, they're just not getting the help. And it's really concerning. You got to just feel for LeBron.
Well, they're done now. I mean, it's concerning. I mean, they're very concerned, but there's no way that I don't see them taking two games back at home over this team. I think that was their best shot to steal a game
and
potentially flip the series on its head. Maybe they win. I don't see them winning two in a row against this team, or at least in this way to get back into it. Do you think that they could win two in LA?
I think they could, but I think you're right. I think it's probably still done. Because, you know, even if they win two in LA, Denver still has home court throughout. And I mean, if there was ever a chance for anyone to beat Denver at home, it was last night. Like, Denver looked mortal for the first time in a long time for like most of that game in the playoffs. And
that's
everything.
What's so scary about them, though, is that they have the on-off switch, especially in those fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And Murray's like the best, if not the best, like, just got hot, you have to turn on the TV guys in the league now when it comes to the playoffs. Because it wasn't falling for him at all, like a lot in this game. He went through some stretches.
Yeah,
and then
he turns it on, like I said, I keep referencing, but I watched the last 8 minutes. I think when I first turned it on today to to go back to that, I want to say he was like four or six of 19, like not shooting well at all. And then down the stretch, it was just, he was getting Anthony Davis to switch onto him. He did that a couple times actually, which, you know, I think AD did have a phenomenal game, and we should give him credit for that. But not all, it wasn't only the last shot that Murray was kind of hitting shots over Davis. It's tough, man. I honestly, again, you won't hear me say this often, I feel bad for LeBron. It's tough to see him exert that much energy only to lose, and, you know, have two performances like that where, I mean, I think it should, the series should be 1-1, but like, it wouldn't be crazy if this series was 2-0 the other way too. Like, LA just kind of fell on their face a couple times in both these games, and, you know, very close. You know, I guess the first game wasn't as nearly as close, but they had a lead at a point in that game, and LeBron looks great in that game too. So yeah, it's tough. I think they do win one of these games in LA. I don't know about,
they need to break the streak, man. It's 10 in a row against this team, which is just insane. But
yeah, it's tough just when that's your supporting cast. I think if there was ever, I tweeted this today, but if there was ever a year where LeBron is just absolutely justified on being pissed about his teammates, it's this year for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they can get, grab a couple and even it up in LA. Cleveland, Orlando. We talked about this series a little. My biggest takeaway here is the Magic cannot shoot to save their lives, man. What what the I didn't know it was this bad. I mean, we knew they had a lack of shooters, and I think I actually said this on last week's show when we were saying like we wouldn't be surprised if Miami kept it close, and I was like, yeah, but if it gets anywhere close to shootout territory, and then we started naming the guys, and you reminded me of my friend Karis LeVert, who he's been good in these games. Niang's been good in these games, although. Other than when he gets the Paolo assignment on defense, Niang's been good. But Paolo kind of has been cooking him in that regard. But yeah, it's the shootout is not the type of game that the Magic want to play with the Cavs, and that is what has happened in both games, and the Cavs have just lit it up.
Yeah, man, this is a weird series. Like, that you knew it was going to be low scoring and everything like that, and 96-86 last night. I mean, that's 1990s basketball, you know, rock fight going on right now. But you're exactly right about this Magic team. Like, there's no offense outside of Paolo. Like, Paolo is trying to create basically everything, and he's the only one who can really go out and get his own bucket. And it just worked. I understand why the Cavs wanted to play this team in the playoff series. Like, now you look at it, and even if the Knicks are up 2-0 in their series, like, if the Cavs played the Sixers, it might have looked a lot different. They can bully this team. They knew they could bully this team defensively and take away everything from them and make it hard. Like, this is just, the games have been at the Cavs pace. It's been exactly the kind of games JB Bickerstaff wants. It's not like anybody's like shooting, like going crazy. It's not, Mitchell had, I think, 26, or he had like 30 in game one, and a lot of that was late. He had 23 on Saturday, but it's all four guys scoring again. And you know what is nice? It's the bench. Just having guys, like I told you guys last week when we were talking about the pod, like the lineup they had in game three last year, where it was like Seti and can't remember who, Danny Green and all those guys. And now it's just like having Strus, Okoro playing confidently and hitting shots.
Okoro looks good, man. Both ends.
Okoro is a different player than he was. Like, I feel like Isaac Okoro just needed to get confident, and that's kind of what's happened to him this year. And he plays with confidence and knows like exactly what his role is on this team too. So yeah, man, like, they're just a different makeup. They were able to be the bullies. The Magic are the young team coming in, getting the first taste of their playoff experience. It worked out perfectly for Cleveland to get a round one win, but now, you know, we're still on a collision course with the Celtics, where the Celtics are the best matchup. If you won the series, I guess they just wanted to get through one no matter what. I don't know if this team would match up well. Well, it just remains to be seen, because there's a lot of basketball to go with the Cavs at this point. But it still feels like if they were to play one of the higher level teams, that their warts would get exposed. But this is just a perfect matchup for them.
Yeah, it really is. And like, maybe this will allow fans, and most definitely not. Like, as soon as this time comes around next year, we're all going to overreact again. But maybe we all should have seen this coming a little bit with Paolo Banchero still being 21 years old.
Yeah.
And then his supporting cast, literally none of them have, maybe aside from Joe Ingles, have been in a moment like this.
Yeah.
Like, we got excited. We were kind of all saying, everyone, not just us too, like, oh, the Cavs, they've had chemistry issues, didn't end the year all that great, and the Magic are on this run, and Paolo's carrying them, and the lack of shooters shouldn't matter. They have, you know, the defense and Suggs and Isaac, which I was all in on. But it gets to a point where if you have a certain amount of experience and then even just talent at different positions, that is always going to outweigh, especially in the playoffs. And that's what we're seeing here. And I mentioned the guy's name, but I'm sorry, bro. Joe Ingles, if I'm a Magic fan, I got to be so pissed every time he's out there.
Yeah,
like the one thing that he does in this league and did at a high level for a long time was shoot the three. And then, you know, he could play make and at least just create offense. That's what you need him to do. I saw him miss wide open three after wide open three the other night. Obviously, he's a liability on defense. He has been for a while, so he's not helping you any there. It's just, yeah, I think this Magic team got to the playoffs and they went up against a team who has experience and just as much talent, if not more. And
just a great, the one thing you could never take away from the Cavs is they're a great defensive team.
Yeah.
Like that's what's kept them afloat. That's why, like, when you look at the ceiling of the Cavs, it's like, I don't know what that is, but you know what their floor is because they're just hell to play against defensively. And the Magic want to get to the paint, and there's nothing in the paint for them.
And they're just not switching up their game plan either.
No, like, not Paolo
driving, he's either getting by someone, which he's good enough to, you know, get away with that for some of the game, but then he's just kicking it out, and like Cole Anthony's missing, you know, Fultz is missing, Joe Ingles is missing.
You asked me, did the playoffs actually start? Let's see what happens. Orlando, third best home record in the East this year. Young team at home is way different than a young team on the road. This Cavs team, it's nice when it's going well. What happens when the shots aren't falling as much or
a little adversity
happens? Yeah. So this series could be 2-2 coming back to Cleveland quick. Like, I don't think it's going to be, but there is a path where Orlando is just a different team at home because that affects the young guys too. But so far it's just been bad. But let's what do you got next on that for us here?
The
Cavaliers.
The Sixers and Knicks, which we've spent a little bit of time on, but this is also the most dramatic. This is another series that we've already seen two games of. Where do we begin with this one? I mean, Knicks up 2-0. Let's start with just Joel Embiid, because I have a couple things here. Embiid, after the game last night, confident the Sixers win. He said, we're gonna come back, we're gonna win. He knows they could win this game. He basically was saying they shouldn't have lost those two. We should be up 2-0. I think it's all the things that you want to hear from your star guy, but it's just so tough to, I don't know. This is another guy you just feel for. I mean, Joel was having one of the better seasons we've seen from any player in a while to start the year. We know the injury things. Game one, it looked like he was going to be out for another extended period of time with the self lob and then going down with the knee, and it looked so bad. It's all crazy with Joel and the Sixers right now. Did you see the shit with his eye on Twitter? And then in the post games, he was like covering it up. There's a zoomed in video of him at the free throw line, and one of his eyes was like super twitchy. It looked like he couldn't close the other one. And then during the post game presser, he had his hand over his face the whole time. So There's an eye gate going on against
eye gate
about Joel Embiid, and I'm yet to get to the bottom of it. I don't want to speculate like some people on Twitter have been. I'm not here to do that, but it was strange to see. But
I mean
that's probably the least strange things that are going on with the Sixers. The end of that game, man. I don't even know where to start. It just came out about like an hour ago that the last 2-minute report came out. There was indeed Maxey got fouled twice, the refs admitted to, and Nick Nurse should have had the timeout granted. And obviously we know it wasn't. The Knicks win the game. So it was bad enough that Philly fans had to watch their team lose in that fashion last night. And then the 2-minute report from the referees came out today and confirmed that they got 3 calls in a row wrong. And that was basically the deciding factor of the game. So very tough pill for Philly fans to swallow, but that's the reality. Knicks are up 2-0 and kind of similar to a Lakers situation. Like Embiid and Maxey have been awesome and not really getting much help from the supporting cast.
Nope. Yeah, it's basically the same story. Like you said earlier, 2-7 series feel very similar in that same way. I think this is another case where it could be different. And yeah, it's amazing that he's putting up the numbers that he is, honestly.
Yeah.
He does not look himself. And I texted last night, I just in a group chat, I was like, Embiid's not ready. And then I looked at the box score after not paying it, like, because I was watching the Cavs game, even if it was a blowout, I was just locked in more to the Cavs game until the end of that game. And then I'm like, holy shit, he's got like 30 and 12. Like, he didn't look like a guy who could possibly have the numbers that he had in that game, the way he was going up and down the court. So it's amazing to even see that. But yeah, they need superhuman efforts from those guys. And that's when you look at the roster construction, it makes sense. But last night was atrocious, man. Like, that's one of the hardest kind of playoff losses. Both those teams for the road, like, but I don't know what they do, what their pivot can be at home. We'll see what happens and with that Knicks team, because it just feels like I feel like this series is going to go long. And so I'm interested to see how the Sixers kind of get back into it, because I don't think they're going out early.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I would not be surprised at all if they win the next two in Philly. I think they for sure win this next one. I think there's going to be some animosity in the air in Philly's arena. I think the fans are going to be probably, I don't know, it'd be hard to be just as loud as Knicks fans. That's what I was going to say, but I'll tip my hat to Knicks fans, man. The MSG, even through the TV, has sounded fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The first two games. So shout out to Knicks fans. They're doing their part. Knicks are up 2-0. I do want to take a little victory lap. Kind of has to do with Philly supporting cast. I said I hated the moves that Philly made at the trade deadline on our trade deadline episode. And it's just starting to look more and more true for my take there, because Buddy Hield through 2 games is 1 of 5 in 26 minutes. And I don't know why. One, he's only played 26 minutes. And two, he's only shot 5 times, because that is the only reason you bring a guy like Buddy Hield in, is to help with scoring. And I know they did it when Joel was down, but don't you think it'd be good to have another sharpshooter out there actually taking threes, you know, in a game that's decided by a few points? I have no idea what they're doing with Buddy Hield. But yeah, it's, you look at the 2 games they lost, it's like, don't you think they would have rather had a guy like, I know this wasn't the deal straight up, but guys that they shipped out at the deadline were Korkmaz, Patrick Beverley, and Marcus Morris, who you were just saying is a great addition to the Cavs team, bench presence. So you're missing the toughness aspect. You got rid of Pat Bev and Marcus Morris. Korkmaz, you know, I'm not here saying that he's a better player than Buddy Hield, but that dude was not afraid to fucking shoot the ball in the playoffs. He at least would have got up some shots. I have no idea what's going on. They also traded multiple second round picks for Buddy Hield, and to only take 5 shots through your first 2 games in the playoffs and only make 1 of them while your star player is hobbled and trying to do everything on his own. Just a weird, strange look for the Sixers. So hopefully they can turn it around a little bit.
Yeah, not a lot of answers. I mean, that's crazy to say about the Sixers roster, but there's not a lot of places they can turn.
Yeah, and this is I'd say last night was probably the first time this season that we saw like Nick Nurse real frazzled too, because all we've been doing all year is saying that, you know, a big part of the reason Philly could be different this year is because they have a different head coach who we trust a lot more than Doc, recent championship experience, all that stuff. And he even kind of lost it a little at the end of last night's game. And, you know, it was part of the reason that they weren't able to pull out the win. But we'll see. That's another one that's going. The home court is switching. Philly's going home. Maybe they can grab at least one there. They're going to need to, or they get swept. Minnesota and Phoenix. I know you said you didn't catch most of this one. We have, if you're listening live, it's coming up very soon. T-Wolves up 1-0. Ant is next up. We kind of talked about that, right? Like, he's just that dude, and it might even be exemplified next year as far as being that dude. He might even take another step, which is scary. But the T-Wolves, this series to me was, maybe it is important to listen to the regular season a little bit more than we do. And I know all three of us, and I still think Phoenix could easily win this series, but I think there's a reason that Minnesota was flirting with the one seed, ended up ultimately getting the three seed, as we know. But there is a reason that the T-Wolves were at that point. Even when Cat went down, they were staying at the top of the West. They're a really solid team. They have wing defenders. They have their superstar. They have the talented bigs. And outside of Durant, another team where it's like, okay, Durant's amazing. Where the hell is the rest of the squad? Yep. Even Booker. Like, Booker did not show up in that game. I would expect a big Devin Booker night tonight. I don't think that's something we can expect through the whole series, that Booker won't show up. But game one was certainly a statement for Minnesota.
Yeah, man. You said it perfectly there. I'd imagine Devin Booker is coming back with a fierceness tonight. It was weird to see that. But this Minnesota team's for real defensively. Like, that's the one thing that they can hang their hat on. Like, we talk about the Cavs. We know Minnesota's floor. It's when things start leaking, can they keep up scoring the ball with the Phoenix Suns in this series? But game one didn't need to. Like, they controlled everything about that. Ant was awesome, was ready for it, talking shit, all that good stuff. You love to see it. It was fun. Like, it was fun to see. The place was rocking. Target Center in Minnesota going nuts. Yeah. Like, the fans were into it. You could tell the players were having fun. I'll be happy to see Minnesota if they can. They have a stranglehold on this series and kind of control the Suns. While it would be crazy to see this hyped up Suns team go out early and KD going out that early, I'd love to see this Minnesota team in a series with Denver in the next round. Like, that would be so interesting to me. So I'm fully on board with it. I'm cheering for Minnesota, rooting for them. The fans loved it. It's a loyal fan base there too. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I will say, we can shit on the guy throughout the year, but we will give credit where credit's due. Karl Anthony Towns on limited minutes, pretty solid first playoff game. Yeah. 19 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in 27 minutes. Shout out Cat. He did it this time around. Rudy Gobert also performed well in the playoffs. So we'll see. Game two, I expect, I don't know if I'm calling for definitely a Phoenix win here, but it's going to be a lot closer than a 25-point game tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
The rest of these, we've only seen one game so far. But OKC, New Orleans Pelicans, my biggest takeaway from this, pretty fucking cool how close the Pelicans kept it without Zion.
Yeah.
Ingram stepped up. McCollum was pretty solid. Valanciunas, just the big body, was an issue, it seems like, for OKC. But I'm just excited if this 1-8 series gives us, something cool to watch.
Yeah, it was very surprising to see the way that New Orleans kind of came out and played defensively. Honestly. And I mean, yeah, it was a good defensive game from OKC too, but that's what you were, without Zion, it's like, okay, how is this team going to keep up and keep pace with OKC? And they just locked down, and that's one of their strengths. I mean, they've done that. They've been a pretty solid defensive team this year. Zion's a big help with that, but it was great to see that in that first game, kind of that match the physicality and everything else about that with OKC. But it's kind of the same thing as last night with the Lakers and the Nuggets. That was a great chance to steal a game. I don't know if they can pull that off again tomorrow night against the Thunder, that kind of effort again. I feel like the Thunder, I would pick them pretty handily. I would probably take it 7.5, the spread. I'd probably take Thunder -7.5 tomorrow. Because I do think there's a gap between these two teams.
Especially without Zion, right?
Yeah, especially without Zion. So we'll see, man. But it was a fun game one, and it was fun to see the Pelicans have that fight. The one thing that I could, like, from the end of that game, just a weird, like, weird setup for a last shot to just be an ISO with CJ McCollum at the top of the key.
Dude, I thought the exact same thing. Yeah. Man.
I was like, can we move around a little bit? Can we get like, you didn't need, all you needed was a two to tie. You don't need to have CJ chuck up a step back three. Like, you could have done something creative, have an option to kick out or take an easy two, like put them in a position where they dictate to you. And then you can either win that game or take it to overtime. And you've been playing well.
Yeah, and you, they like you said, they seem to be kind of wearing the OKC down anyway. They came in with the right defensive mindset. It's just it's strange, man. Like I it's funny that you mentioned that. I thought the exact same thing when I saw, especially the replay of it. It's like, why not at least put CJ in like a pick and roll action or pick
just something, man,
or even Brandon Ingram. Like I don't know. I don't think CJ hasn't, been the hottest shooter as of late too. So, I mean, it was a good look, which is fine. But yeah, I would have liked to see them do a little something different. But we'll see. Maybe they can even up the series tomorrow. Hopefully they can at least make it competitive for us. The other 1-8 matchup, Celtics-Miami. Pretty much a blowout here. Miami kind of made it interesting towards the end, but not really. In game one, like I mentioned, I'll be at game two tomorrow. Super excited to to feel the atmosphere of the TD Garden for the first time these playoffs. And we mentioned no Rozier, no Butler. I expect Celtics to handle business. Do you have anything here?
Were you surprised that the game was that easy? Because I mean, was there any part of you that was little worried about zombie heat even without Jimmy and everything? Because it just felt like this is just rudimentary for the Celtics. Like, this is just, okay, we got to get through these four games, whatever, and go home. That's how they felt. Like, they felt like they were just taking care of business, which was not a vibe we've gotten from that team the last couple of years. Like, it's a lot of guys, like, we'd have these dumb Celtics even in games they win. Like, you have the stretches where you're like, what are you guys doing? Like, why did you just stop doing everything that was working so well in this game? It's because they got a little cocky. Like, that's what it comes down to. It happens to a lot of young teams. Everything else, game one against a team that they've had that history with, just felt like they were like, okay, let's go out and handle it. Like, we should smoke these guys.
Yeah, and I that was pretty much like my mindset as a fan too. Is there was a leading up to the game, obviously, had to watch all the games Saturday, and then Sunday we had the early game. So Saturday, I was like, I don't know, maybe this group without Butler and without Rozier, they still have enough fight in them and they make it close. And then Sunday, like an hour before the game, I was just trying to conceptualize like who are they actually going to throw at the Jays and like slow them down? Like a rookie Jaime Jaquez, Caleb Martin.
A lot of Hayden Highsmith.
Yeah, like the math wasn't math in there. Like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. I'm like, none of these guys can check the Jays. At least one or two of them is going to have to be on the Jays just out of necessity. And then when Bam started to get it going and that was kind of their only offense, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Like, we'll just give them, like, let Bam go one-on-one, let him, keep scoring twos on us and we'll just keep hitting threes. And that's how it went. And like I said, there was some drama at the end, the Caleb Martin foul, which I think has already been exhausted. And that whole thing has kind of been beaten to death. Like, I think it was a Miami Heat play. If anyone wants my opinion on it, I think the Miami Heat like to muck up games. I don't think it was a I'm trying to hurt Tatum play. I think it was a let's muck up this game a little bit. And I think that's exactly what happened. I love Jaylen Brown's response, getting in Caleb Martin's face. And he even said today after practice, he was like, hey, look, like, looking back at it, I didn't think it was anything serious, but anytime any of my teammates hit the ground, that's what I'm going to do. So,
we have breaking news.
Oh, I love it.
As we started our new streak, of breaking news on the show, thanks to JBC here, Tyrese Maxey is your most improved player.
Wow.
In the NBA. Kobe White robbed.
Did they give Maxey that because he was fouled twice last night at the end of the game?
Yeah, they're like,
called. Yeah,
we gotta do something nice for this guy.
the league saw that last 2-minute report come out from the referees, and they were like, all right, we gotta give.
Let's throw five more votes in the Tyrese's box, and we'll call it a day. But there it is. Breaking news on the pod.
Love it. 2 weeks in a row, breaking news. Yeah, we've been doing that a lot lately. Shout out Tyrese Maxey. I think we're all in agreement with JBC. We kind of thought it should have been Kobe White.
I did pick Tyrese Maxey, but I listened.
I think both are fair. I don't think.
I more picked it. See, I just felt like it was. It makes. I kind of got convinced by you and Steve after hearing both of your picks, but I had already made my pick and I wasn't going back on it. So yeah, I'll submit to it, but. He has a good case because of, like, I feel like it's most improved, like, perception of Tyrese Maxey as much as anything else, yeah. You know?
And, like, who knows? Like, I think he might have been even more deserving of it if Joel never got hurt, because we saw the explosion, like, playing alongside Joel in their two-man game when they had the best net rating in the league. I think that's, like, when it got noticed. It sucked that was at the beginning of the season, and then we saw all these other guys improving throughout. So I understand people being upset about it, but I also, there's definitely a part where, you know, he's at least a little deserving of that.
Yeah, interesting. All right, we got two series left. Let's zoom through them here.
Yeah, so games. Milwaukee, Indiana, just complete opposite of what I thought was going to happen here, bro.
Yep,
like, same. I really thought Indiana was going to get up for this game. They absolutely did not, and this is another game. Like, I think Magic Cavs, right? Like, a team with a whole bunch of experience on one side and a team with very minimal experience on the other, like Patrick Beverley, Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton, all those guys, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, all those guys have been in this moment. They've been in the league for a very long time. They know what toughness means. They know what playoff basketball means. Very few guys on the Indiana Pacers have that same luxury. And I think it's another one that I just got dead wrong and just should have probably looked at a little more simplistically and didn't.
No, I don't think you should have gotten it any differently. I think we were all fair in the assessment without Giannis that Indiana could be in this game, and they could still be in this series. Like,
yeah.
This is the one where I'm still like, remains to be seen. Like, maybe Indiana just needs to get their feet wet, take that loss. We knew that Dame was going to, you know, Dame's going to have some great games in this series.
35 points in the first half and then not scoring again was weird.
It's very weird. But, like, is he going to do that all series long? Like, tonight he could Dame score 14 points, because you could see that Dame too coming out in this series. So we'll see what happens. I still have faith that the Pacers are going to make this a series. The spread's only 1.5 for Milwaukee. So Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game too. But yeah, I agree, man. Exact opposite of what I was expecting. And it was crazy to see them just on fire like that.
Yeah, just no answer from any of those guys. I think it starts with Haliburton, right? He looked very pedestrian, just not used to what we're seeing out of Haliburton, especially the way he's played against the Bucks this year. And, just kind of the way he was carrying himself. Obviously, he had that lull kind of towards the end of the season, but I expected him to show up. I think he'll have a little more gas for game two. Last series, Clippers, Dallas Mavericks. I guess not as shocking as some of the other ones. I was surprised that Dallas never really had it going in this one. I will say, I don't know if you feel this way too, and I feel a little safer saying this with Steve not on today's episode. But did you think that a lot of media people were kind of giving Dallas a pass for losing that first game? It kind of seems like everyone was like, oh, like, just chalk it up to Dallas having a bad shooting night. Like, that won't happen again. It's like, well, it could.
It could, yeah. And that is interesting, because there was a lot of discourse. Like, there's no way the Mavs can play like that again. And maybe we're not giving enough credit to this Clippers defense. And I mean, it's James Harden teams, you don't think about defense as much. Maybe we need to consider that, but the Mavs were just missing a lot of shots. And I don't anticipate it happening to that level again, but could they struggle from the field for the rest of the series? Yeah, I think they could. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that they could have been, media could have been a little harder on them, but also praising the Clippers more than anything. I feel like that's what needed to be the story of this. Like, the Clippers hit their open shots. They had incredible, like, scoring throughout the lineup, you know, and if they're going to, if the series idea for the Clippers is, all right, Kyrie and Luka, go take your 20 shots, get 30 points a game, whatever. And we'll shut down everybody else. And we have more depth than you. to keep scoring, especially once Kawhi comes back. If Kawhi comes back,
yeah, like,
they're a really deep lineup with a lot of guys that can go get their own shot. And that's what it just looked like. And it's been like this the whole season, right? It's been a Luka and Kyrie dominated. It's been their show, all that stuff. And it works to get you to this point. But then once you get to the playoffs and those other guys aren't hitting those shots and you're against this Clippers team who has at least four guys who you know can go off for a crazy night, probably five if you want to consider Mann and Westbrook both as one of those guys that can go crazy and have big scoring nights. Zubac with 15 rebounds and 20 assists, like, or 20 yeah. points. Like,
he had a beast.
That's not what you want to hear from when you got Gafford and, you know, all the hype that Steve was getting them, rightfully. But, you know, Gafford only played 14 minutes in this game.
Yeah, he got banged up a little.
He got hurt.
And then he came back in, and it was just a weird show. And then,
but that's Luka, what they, Luka we know how screaming at
Kleba. That was Luka's inner Steve coming out. He's screaming at Maxi Kleba.
That was nuts and should never be happening. The fact that we know how important Gafford's been to them this year. When he plays, they win. And so with him kind of not be like you said, got banged up and not playing a ton in this game, and a lot of Kleber. It's hard against this Clippers team. Like, the margin for error is going to be thin. Again, tonight, it's a -1.5 spread. Like, they think Vegas thinks this is going to be a close game. The other thing, too, is I know Gafford, you know, whatever, Kleber's getting more minutes than he should have, but they had Hardaway 16 minutes, Lively 19 minutes, Exum 16 minutes, and Green 9 minutes from the bench, too. That's a 10-deep rotation, and you don't usually see that in the playoffs. And that's what we've been talking about this, Jason Kidd. You got to just play your guys, man. Like, you can't keep going around like that. So I think they need to cut. Like,
does
Josh Green need 9 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, does he need 9 minutes? Does Exum, you know, give these guys, Exum and Hardaway, both at 16. One's got to get more than the other, I feel like. You just got to decide which guy you got to ride with. Like, those are the decisions you have to make in these series and ride the hot hands. You can't split it down the middle. And so that's the one thing I don't like, just looking straightly at the box score and everything.
Yeah, it's like almost to that point. The Clippers didn't have Kawhi, and they still seemed like the much deeper team. Yep. And we talked about it. You know, Steve brings it up every time we talk about the Mavs. And like you just said, rightfully so, like the additions that they made at the deadline were awesome. They improved the team immensely. That's exactly what they needed to do. They need to go out and get size. They need to go out and get a guy like PJ Washington who can score and defend, which is great. But it's crazy because even with those additions and even with Kawhi Leonard out, the Clippers still, it was so clear how much deeper they were. And again, just kind of guys who have been there before, like Russ, Norman Powell, even like Plumlee off the bench. Daniel Tice, like they have guys who can do it for them. And we saw that. So interesting one. I still think the Mavs win this series, especially because we have no timetable for Kawhi Leonard, like we're talking about at the beginning of the show, and that really sucks. But it's the reality of the situation. And one thing for Mavs fans and for Steve, I don't think James Harden shoots that well again for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
We saw similar things with him on Philly last year.
Austin. Game 1, game 2, James Harden is a much different player than game 6, game 7, James Harden.
Yeah.
Much different.
And I think we probably see a Luka explosion tonight too, because he you know, he got the points. He always ends up getting the points, but he shot pretty poorly. Yeah. Kyrie kind of carried the efficiency wagon there. So yeah, I think if you like prop bets, I think smashing Luka's points appropriately tonight wouldn't be the worst play.
I like it. Yeah, 4 for 12 from three too. So if you can get that even to 50% for tonight, that's a nice little jump.
But that, I think that'll do it for our little playoff check-in here.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy the basketball, everyone. It's been fucking delightful for me so far. I know it has been for you as well, Jake. Both our squads haven't lost yet.
Yeah, listen, we're almost to the point where in 2 weeks from now on this show, it's gonna be a wild time.
I know it's gonna be a podcast divided, bro.
It really might be, and. It is what it is. I'll be the plucky underdog. Yeah. I'm fighting against Steve too. Stevie Boston has already declared his
I know that's tough.
Loyalty.
I wonder
so
if
all right. You got to do what you got to do.
I wonder if Steve only joins my forces if the Mavs lose or in that certain matchup, he would be on my side.
I'll have to bet the series price no matter what it is. I bet it'd be plus 390, but you gotta just send it, see what happens.
You have to. Let's enjoy our team's winning for right now. and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But yes, that will be very exciting. Thank you guys all for listening. Thank you to Trainwreck Sports. Go follow them on all platforms. Follow us at Happy Hour Hoops 1 everywhere. And don't forget to download the WinStreaks app, guys. Happy Hour Hoops is brought to you by WinStreaks. Use our code HHH when you download the app. Happy Hour Hoops is always presented by WinStreaks. It's simple. You pick teams to win games, accumulate points, then win cash prizes once those points stack up. WinStreaks was 100% free to play. You make up to 5 picks per day on the NBA, NFL, NHL, college basketball, and college football when they return, and the MLB, which there's plenty of games every day in baseball. Contest runs every week from Monday to Sunday. Use our code HHH when you download the WinStreaks app.
Hell yeah.
Later, guys.
See ya.